to welcome those who are visiting in our audience. We want you to know we're happy that you're here. We'd ask you to open your minds and open your Bibles to the things that we will study together, that we might have a better understanding of what's required of us as we live in this life. We also want you to know that if you find anything that you do not understand or that you don't agree with, you would be our friend to point that out to us, that we might sit down with an open Bible and open mind and come to a better understanding of God's Word. It is our hope and our desire to never misrepresent what God's Word teaches, but to do it in such a way that it's in accordance with the things revealed, and to do it in a way that's understandable, and to do it in a way that's with love and kindness, that you might be encouraged and provoked to live your life in accordance to His will. I want to make mention, next Lord's Day morning, I'm going to do a very simple first principle lesson entitled Salvation by the Blood. Once a month, I'm going to try to do a lesson that is generally for people who are not members of the body of Christ. If you have friends and neighbors and people you would like to bring, those would be Sundays that would be a good opportunity for you to know what the subject matter is going to be. It's going to be very elementary. So I'm going to try to do that in order that there might be people that you know that you might want to bring and never know what I'm going to speak upon, but I'll try to do that at least once a month in order that you might be able to work with your friends and your neighbors and might take basic, simple sermons that might provoke their thinking and get them to thinking about spiritual matters. And we'll do that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning when we talk about salvation by the blood. When I was a little boy, there used to be a program on, I believe it was Saturday nights. It was one that my parents liked a great deal. It was entitled, This Is Your Life. It was always going to exemplify and honor someone who had lived the life and give a kind of recap of their life in thanks for the life that they lived. So this morning I was thinking that that might be a good subject for a sermon. And so this morning I want to talk about This Is Your Life. And we want to talk about your life story. And I want you to understand that it is a story that you write. It is a story that is written and has input by only you. Now, people can influence you. They can discourage you. They can mislead you. They can misdirect you. They could do many things that would cause you to take steps maybe that you would not take otherwise. But after that's all said and done, they are your steps. And so each of us this morning are recording our life story. And it is not as important about what goes into that story as what that story leaves. I want to suggest to you this morning that everyone leaves a story. I don't care what walk of life you come from. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're rich or poor. It doesn't make any difference if you're influential, or if you're powerful, or if you're in a position of authority, or if you're a preacher, an elder, or a deacon, it doesn't matter. Everybody has a story. And everybody leaves a story. I want you to take your Bibles out to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk to you for just a moment about a very powerful statement made about one who left a story. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 4, this statement is made in the great chapter of faith of the roll call of the faithful concerning Abel. And the scripture says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. I want you to notice that last phrase. He being dead, yet speaks. Abel died a long, long time ago. He died, he was one of the first men on earth. He was part of the first set of brothers. And he died centuries ago. But even though he died centuries ago, his death still speaks volumes. His life story is that he was a witness of what righteousness was about. he offered a more excellent sacrifice because he offered his by faith and Cain did not. And he is a living legacy of what it means to live a life that speaks volumes even after you're gone. And so he left quite a story. And isn't it a wonderful thing if people would still be thinking about you or thinking about me, not because of who I am, not because of who you are, but because of what you did. But that works another way too. Because some might remember what you did and it not be in a very positive light. And so I want to challenge you this morning to ask you a question, how will I be remembered? How will you be remembered? When people think about your life, and when people think about what you did while you had your time and opportunity on this earth, how will you be remembered? And I want to suggest to you that you will be remembered. And it's going to be important this morning that we understand that we can have a say in how we'll be remembered. Will your life, will you leave people trying to unravel your life to determine who you really were and what you really were all about? Is it something that people are not sure of? Is it something that people, it's a mystery to them who you really were and what you really were and what you were really all about? Or will it be very evident and will it be very plain? And will it be easy to see who you lived for and what was important in your life and what you tried to exemplify while you lived upon this earth? I want to share some passages with you for a moment, beginning in Psalms chapter 145 and verse number 7. Psalms 145 and verse number 7. And they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. Notice, they will utter memory of your great goodness. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 10 and look at verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. And then in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, in verse number 14, Isaiah 26, verse number 14, the dead will not live, the departed spirits will not rise. Therefore you have punished and destroyed them, and you have wiped out all remembrance of them. What kind of impression will you leave with your family, with your children, with your brethren, and with the world? I want to suggest to you this morning that you will leave some sort of story, and all of them will remember you to some degree. And so we need to make sure that we lead a life not to impress men, not for the glory of man, not for self-glory, but to live a life that will be one that will be a pleasant experience for those to think about. A pleasant remembrance for my family, for my children, for the Lord's church, and for the world that I lived in. And we need to remember that God intends for us to leave an impression upon this world. You know, we just have to go to the various Bible stories to know that men have left many such stories. In 1 Kings chapter 13, we have a confusing story. A story of a young prophet that started well but did not finish well. A young prophet that was sent to prophesy against the foreign gods and the spiritual adultery that the leadership of God's people was leading his people in. And he prophesied against them. And the king was so angry that he reached out to harm the young prophet and his hand turned to leprosy. And then he begged the prophet to petition God that he would take away the leprosy. And he did. And the king was so grateful that he offered him a reward if he would come back to his home. But the young prophet said, if you gave me half of all your silver and all your gold, and I would not go back with you, and I would not take it, for God has told me not to return to your place or to come the way that I came, and I have to refuse. Now you have to have some sort of good feeling about this young man who is willing, even though it would mean personal gain, turned it down simply because God told him to reject it. But you know, that'd be a wonderful story if that was the end of the story, but it's not. For you see, an old prophet also lived in Bethel, and he was told about what the young prophet did, and he asked, which way did he go? And so they said, well, he went down the road this way. So he caught up with him, and he said, are you the prophet that prophesied against these false priests? He said, yes. He says, I want you to come back to my home and refresh and take your ease. He says, I can't do so. God told me not to go the same way I came and not to eat or not to drink in this place. But you know, there's one little verse added to this story. And it says, but he lied to him. He lied to him. And so he went back. And when he went back, a messenger of God was sent and told him that he would never reach his home alive again. And he was killed by a lion on the way. What happened? He started well, but he did not finish well. You see, if we ended his story in the beginning, he would have a great remembrance. Well, when we think about this story, it's very confusing that he accepted the lie when he knew what the truth was. That's a confusing story. Why did he change? And the answer to that is because he chose to believe a lie. I can do that, and you can do that. And then we have tragic stories. A tragic story would be one like Solomon. Solomon was a very young man when he became king. And he was given the opportunity to request anything he wanted from God, and God would grant his request. And he showed great wisdom and courage in what he asked for, because he asked for wisdom. He asked for a discerning heart that he might lead these people in the right way, because he knew he was a young man. And God was so pleased with what he asked, he not only gave him wisdom that was greater than any that lived before him or after him, save Jesus himself, he also gave him all the other things he didn't ask for. Power, wealth, authority, prestige, all those other things. But the tragic story about Solomon is what we remember, is we can read of his wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Song of Solomon. We can read of his wisdom, but the sad story of Solomon is he didn't apply it to himself. Others benefited from his wisdom, but he did not. He did not make application to himself. And therefore, in 2 Kings, 1 Kings 11, and then we go forward to 2 Kings 3, we see that these women led him into spiritual adultery. At the end of his life, he was petitioning foreign gods instead of petitioning the God of heaven. He had a tragic ending because he did not apply God's truth to himself. And then we have hidden stories. There are some stories that are not going to come out until the day of judgment. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look at the writing of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 24. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men will follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. You know, there's things about us that are only known between us and God, good and bad. But on the final day, those things are going to become evident. You know why? Because they're part of our story. They're part of our life. The hidden things, the things that we may be able to hide from men, the things that we can hide from men and we can fool men, but the day will come when we will see those things and we will give an account of those things, because they too are part of the story. And then we have a story of a strong finish. In a few weeks I'm going to do a lesson on this verse. It's one of the most comforting passages of all Scripture. It's the last words probably written by the Apostle Paul prior to his death. He is in a Roman prison, and his life is about to be taken for his faith and his cause for Christ. And as he's contemplating his own death, in verse number 6, he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul had a strong finish. And when you think of the life of Paul, he will be remembered as a man who had zeal, even as a persecutor and a destroyer of the church. That when he learned the truth and when he was converted to the truth, he never lost the zeal, he never lost the commitment, he never lost the fervent spirit, and he used it for the good and the glory and the honor of God. And even all the way to the point of his death, he never turned back, never looked back with regret. He had a strong finish. And that's a worthy example for any of us to follow, to have a strong finish. But we see in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, it says that the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. What about a legacy? You know, I hear a lot about that in the political realm. What kind of legacy does a man have? What kind of legacy is he going to leave? And what that means is, what will men and women think about him? What will he be or she be remembered for? I want to read you a quote that I thought was interesting. It says, a bad legacy, on the other hand, requires no concern, no effort for attainment. Do nothing different, and a son or daughter will receive exactly what the parent left behind. Like water that flows downhill, so a bad legacy will pass effortlessly from one generation to the next. You know, we have a biblical example of that. It's in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Because after the death of Joshua, there rose up a new generation. And you know what the Bible says about that generation? In Judges 2 and verse 10, it says, this generation did not know God. The legacy of their parents was they did not teach them about God. And that legacy was passed on to their children, and they became so ungodly. If you study the book of Judges, over and over and over again, they would be oppressed because they disobeyed God, because they did not have a relationship with Him, because they were not taught properly. But I want you to notice that did not escape their accountability. They were not taught, but that did not escape their accountability, because they had a responsibility to learn for themselves despite their legacy. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 1, the wise man Solomon once again made this proverb. He said, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and calls out to give it a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for his wisdom and honor. You know, it takes a lifetime to build character, integrity, and a good reputation. It takes but a few minutes to absolutely destroy it and dismantle it. Some work throughout their lives to serve God and men, and they're faithful a good part of their life. And then something happens, whether it's in the physical realm, whether it's within the body of Christ, whether it's because of circumstances that take hold of them in their physical life. Whatever happens, all of a sudden they give up on God. Could it be that one who began with great potential and ended by squandering your abilities and opportunity to spiritual service, could it be that it takes far less to ruin someone, something, than to create it? You know, the Bible is full of examples and warnings about not letting our relationship with God diminish. Don't let it slip. Don't squander it away. Don't give it back. And over again, you and I have witnessed men and women over the years who began well, who were strong, who were committed, and then something happened. And they quit. Then they turned their back on God. And sadly, they die in that state. And we remember them. But it's with regret. Because they started well, but they did not finish. That's a terrible legacy. That is not one that we want to emulate. That is not one that we want to make for ourselves. What if I receive nothing? What if in my life I'm one of those unfortunate people that I don't receive anything? If I received an empty wallet, I can be the one who fills it out. You know, I bought a lot of wallets, but I've never bought one that had any money in it. Usually it was empty, and then if any money got in it, I had to fill it up. And you know, that's really what your life is. If I am the first one in my family chain to accept God as my master, should I be the last? Or should I do everything in my possible, in my ability, in my opportunity, and with the help of God, should I try not to make sure that I'm the last? If I'm the first, that's great. But it'd be terrible if you were the last. If we experience negativism and I can't from others, we can pass on positivism that I can and I will. You know, I've heard much about we're a product of our environment. And that's true to a degree. But what if your environment is not too good? What if your legacy that was left to you is not very profitable? And not very spiritual, and not very uplifting. Do you have to wallow in it? Do you have to follow it? Or can you do better? Sadly, in our country, some people think that from going one generation to another, no matter how bad it is, that that's a good thing. It's not a good thing if it's not a proper thing in the sight of God. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, Peter wrote that an unbelieving spouse can, through the conduct of her life, leave her husband to the truth. She may not, because he has an obligation, or she has an obligation to accept or reject, but if they don't try, I know they won't. If I don't try to save those in my family who are lost, then I won't be able to help them. But if I don't try at all, then I may join them. You see, I have the responsibility. I can't obey it for them. I can't make them do what's right, but I can give them the love of God in me that I want to give them the opportunity. Whether they ever take it or not, that's a different issue. But the Bible tells me, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, to first give myself to the Lord. If I leave a legacy for my children, I want them to know that God was important in their dad's life. Whether or not they ever accept that in their own life, I hope and pray they do, and they always do. But whether or not they do or not, I want them to know that their dad and mom did. I want them to know that in Matthew 6:33, when I taught them to seek the kingdom of God first in their life, I want them to be able to look in my life and say, yes, Dad taught me that, and that's what Dad did. Because that's my best possible way of passing on a legacy. But I know if you think you can't, and if you think they won't, and you won't try, and you won't avail yourself, then you can guarantee in failure. It's a sure success for failure. But there is a possibility of success if you will try. Will I be one that tries, or will I be one who threw in the proverbial towel and just gave up? What if I receive numbing? If we grew up as perpetual victims, we can break the tradition and become a generation of victors. You know who I admire? I admire men and women who rise above their circumstance. I have known men and women who came from a terrible background, had unloving parents, had abusive parents, had parents that treated them in ways that are despicable. But yet they are faithful children of God trying to lead their children in the same path, and they rose above their circumstance. And I tire of men and women who use their circumstance as an excuse to continue the digression. It is an excuse. We can all have bad experiences. We can all have people that did not treat us very well. But we don't have to pass the baton and be another one in the chain. We can rise above our circumstance. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't, heaven help us. Take a good look at the world. If men and women don't stand up and rise above their circumstances, what hope is there for this world? Because the majority of this world is going in the wrong direction. If you came from a home where there were broken promises and failures, you could choose to pass on that legacy, or you could choose a different legacy of honesty and success. You can break the chain. I'm here to tell you that you do not have to continue the generation of despair. You don't have to continue. Unfortunately, I think too many people in our country have sold the bill of goods that they cannot rise above their environment. They cannot rise above their circumstances. You know what Joshua told the children of Israel after they got their inheritance, after God fulfilled every promise that he promised to give them, that he did everything that he had promised their forefathers, and he was about to depart to go all the way of all the earth, and he gave them a choice. He says, you choose. You choose today whom you will serve. You serve the gods and the lands who you dwell, or you serve the Lord who brought you this promise. But he says that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what I'm grateful of? I'm grateful that my mom and dad chose to serve the Lord and to pass that legacy on to me. Now, that mean my mom and dad did everything perfectly? Oh, no. And that doesn't mean their son did either, because he hasn't either. And even though in my own life, things haven't gone exactly with my parents as I would have liked, that doesn't diminish what they did for me. And you know what? I've learned something about that too. Their failures as humans has also taught me some things too. You know, you don't only have to benefit from the successes. You can also benefit from the failures. And if that's not true, you tell me why the stories in the Bible are the majority of people who failed to rise to the bar of obedience, and they slip somewhere underneath it. Why are all those stories there? I think they're there for us to learn. And ladies and gentlemen, you can allow your circumstances to make you better, or you can allow your circumstances to let you remain right where you're at. But either way, you choose. Now, you didn't have any choice about what was done to you. But let me make this very clear. You have a choice what you do with your life. You have a choice of what you do with your children. You have a choice what you do with your grandchildren. You have that choice, and nobody takes that away from you unless you take it away yourself. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Let me give you a few to consider in closing. I want to leave a legacy of love in my life. I want to leave a legacy of love that I understood what Jesus said in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. That I must love him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. That must mean that I must be totally committed to him. No, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't make any mistakes. But that means when I make a mistake, I don't try to rationalize it. I don't try to justify it. I learn from it. I repent of it. And I go on because I love God and I want to please God. I want to leave a legacy of love of the truth. I want to love the truth more than I love anything else. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, some were given a strong delusion, and they believed the delusion because they did not have a love for the truth. Listen to me very carefully. One of the things that is very, very quickly happening in our society, especially in the religious world, is there is a real lack of love for the truth. People are losing their appetite for truth. They accept the lie, and they appreciate the lie more than they appreciate the truth. Is that strange to you? Go back and study the Old Testament. I think there was a time Jeremiah said when the priest and the prophet prophesied falsely, and in Jeremiah 6:15 it says, my people love it to be so. We are living in that time all over again. But I want to be one who loved truth. I don't have to be ugly. I don't have to be arrogant. I don't have to be haughty. I don't have to beat anybody over the head with it. I just have to love it, respect it, and honor it by preaching it and living it. That's all I have to do. Do I love our neighbors? And Jesus told us who that is. Those are any that we have opportunity to help. We're not just talking about those that live next door to us or across the street from us. We're talking about people we meet on the job, people we meet in school, People we meet in our acquaintances through different things that we do in our life. Do we love them? If you have friends and you never talk to them about God, do not tell me that you love them, because you do not. Because the most important thing in their life is God and their relationship with God. Now, whether they ever obeyed or not, that's a different issue. But if you never bring it up, or you try to hide your Christianity, don't tell God that you love him, because he's not buying it. We love our enemies. You have enemies. I have enemies. Would I prefer not to? Yes. But you know what the Bible tells me to do about that? Not seek to ways to get even, not to mistreat them, not to malign them, but to pray for them and to love them. Why? Because Romans chapter 12 says, overcome evil with good. You know, there was a good friend of mine whose wife I loved a great deal. Was a good woman. And one of the things that I heard over and over at her funeral, for people who knew her a lot better than me, said, you know what? I never heard her say a bad thing about anyone. That's a legacy I'd like to have. We love our brethren. Not just lip service. I mean loving our brethren to where we demonstrate it. To where we feel for them. That we want them to be saved. We want them to go to heaven. We want to do everything we can to encourage and provoke them to go to heaven. And we demonstrate it by the things that we do. Do you have this type of legacy? Do you love these things? Are they evident in your life? Are you striving to accomplish them? Up at the legacy of impartiality, that everyone stands on level ground, that I'm not a respecter of person. Brethren, if a man be overtaken of fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Everyone can succeed. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, we need to believe that all men can succeed. We show courtesy to all men. It says in verse 9, do not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we faint not. It says we should do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. You know what we need to do? We need to avoid thinking too highly of some, as if they can do no wrong, and too lowly of others, that they can do no right. Because you know what? Both are wrong. Do we have this concept, well, this person will never amount to anything because their parents were bad, their environment bad, and you know what they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So if we already programmed our thinking that this person or that person, they're not going to amount to anything, so there's no use in wasting any time on them. You know what the Lord said about that? Do not judge by appearance, but make righteous judgment. We need to come to the middle. The legacy of evangelism. Listen to the words of Acts 17, verse 7. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those that happened to be there. You cannot look at the life of the Apostle Paul and not think about evangelism. You can't look at his life and his legacy. And he was faithful to the end. Yes, he suffered very much. But you cannot look and think of his life and not remember all the teaching that he tried to do while he lived. Are you willing to teach God's word? Are you not ashamed of the truth? Do you love the souls of those who are lost and dying in sin? You know, we are known nothing more than a spiritual farmer. We just plant seed and God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 through 8. And we need to leave this legacy. And many people are going to be lost on the day of judgment because they did not leave this legacy. You know how I know that? In Ezekiel chapter 33, there's a great treatise on what it means of responsibility. Now, if you see the wicked going headlong into destruction, and you do nothing to warn them, You remain absolutely silent. And they go on and they're destroyed. Yes, they'll be lost. But the text says in verse 11, their blood will I require at thy hand. But if I warn them, and they go headlong into destruction anyway, yes, they'll be lost. But I won't, because I warned them. Do we understand that? Do we understand our responsibility of personal evangelism? You know what? No one will have a legacy. What will be its legacy? Well, that depends on us. That depends on us. And what about the legacy of discipline? Discipline is important. No plan, no matter how large or small, will ever amount to anything unless someone has the discipline to follow through with it and follow the plan. You remember what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9? He buffeted his body daily that when he preached to others, he himself might become disqualified. He understood that he had to practice self-discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 through 11, there is an excellent teaching on what it means to accept discipline, to be exercised by it. That's what my parents tried to get me to understand. You know, when I was a young man and I lived at home, I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I knew where I wanted. I knew where I wanted to go. And I thought my parents are holding me back. They don't understand me. They don't understand what it's like. And I rebelled much of the time. Not a lot, but enough, more than I should have. But then I grew up a little. And it was amazing. The smarter I got in the wisdom of human wisdom and my knowledge of God's Word, and then I began to practice self-discipline, and I began to be honest with myself. You know, I found out that my parents weren't as off as I thought they were. And they weren't as unlearned as I thought. And they were not as out of step as I thought. And I learned one other thing, that when they told me they loved me, they meant it. But you know when that lesson really hit home? When I had children. And I had to look in there, I won't do it again. I've been there. This hurts me worse than it does you. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Young people, if your parents discipline you, you need to get on your knees and you need to thank God that you've got parents like that. Because there are so many people in this world that don't. And they're going to pay for it. And that's sad. No, they won't always be right. And no, they won't always understand. But don't you ever think that they don't love you. Don't you ever think that they don't care about you, and don't you ever think that there's anything in their life that they would do to not keep you from harm because of the love that they have for you. My children are grown now. Now I'm experiencing a new thrill, grandchildren. But when my grandkids, I like to spoil them. But you know what? I also want to teach them to love their mother, to love their father, and to respect them, and to respect their authority. And I want to back up what their parents do because I want them to be successful and I want them to love their parents. And one of the greatest things in my life, personally speaking, is when my children, even though they're grown, come to me and ask me for advice. You know what that means to me? That means that I did something right. They understand I will always love them. But you know what? I'm glad that God loves me. And more than once, God has had to take me out to the woodshed and straighten me out It get me to thinking like I need to be thinking. And you know what? If I can understand that my parents did that because they love me, surely I can make the connection that God does that because He loves me too. I'm thankful that God disciplines me, corrects me, forgives me, and lets me learn from my mistakes and does not let me die in them. Last but not least, well, people, will you leave a legacy of prayer? Let me ask you something, parents. Have your children ever seen you pray? I mean really pray. I don't mean over a meal. I don't mean at a get-together. I mean, have they ever heard you pray for them? To pray for their well-being. To pray for your guidance of them, that you might lead them in the path that are right. Have they heard you pray for them and thank God for them and for your wife or your husband? We need to live in an atmosphere of gratitude and thanksgiving. We need to practice prayer and we need not worry. You know what? We need to do everything we can that we have ability to do, and then we need to put it in God's hands and we need to leave it there. You know, one of the things I pray for all the time is patience. Patience and long-suffering, because I know God needs it with me, and I need it from Him. You know, we need to have a legacy of prayer. Our prayers are prayed with us and for us. Prayer is a constant reminder of the God's reality that we need Him. Brethren, we need God. We need His help. We need His care. We need His provision. We need everything He can do for us every day. I think we sing a song called, I Need Thee Every Hour. You know, really, we could change that to every minute. It'd be just as scriptural. We need Him all the time. And we need to put emphasis on His will and not our own like the Lord did. We need to transplant our will for His will. And we need to pray that He helps us do that every day. And we need to have a legacy of prayer in our lives. Take your song books out and turn to the song that's been selected. Here's a question for you in closing. What legacy will you leave? Someday, your life will end. Someday, your record will be closed. Someday the last entry in your legacy will be written. I don't know when that will be. I don't know how long that will be. But I know that it will happen. And here's my question. What legacy will you leave with your children? When they remember you, what will they remember about you? What will they remember that was important to mom and dad? What will they remember that mom and dad did for them? What will be their remembrance of you? What about your family? Your people that are your family, the people that you come from, your kin. What will they think about? What will they remember about you? What will the church remember about you? Will you be a loss that's felt? Will you be a loss, and will people look back on your life with great remembrance for the things that you did for the church and you strive to attain, and the example, the influence that you tried to be? Or what will have no remembrance at all? And last but not least, what will be the legacy you leave for the world? What will they remember about your life? Will it have made a difference? I'm not talking in the political realm. I'm not talking about popularity, and I'm not talking about authority. I'm not talking about monuments. I'm talking about, will your life have made a difference? And here's how you'll know. If you strive to the best of your ability to love God, to lead your fellow man to truth, to live a life of example, to try to live a godly life, to try to be faithful, to try to do God's work, and that's the kind of life you live, you had a successful life, and your legacy will go on many years after your death. There are men and women in my life who I have the good opportunity to meet, who have touched my life, who have now passed from this life. But I have not forgotten. They still speak to me, even though some of them have been gone many, many years. I have not forgotten because of the legacy that they left, because of the life that they lived. This is your life story. What are you writing? What are you entering in the lines? What is being recorded in your life? When your life story is told, what will the story be? Will it have a happy ending? It cannot have a happy ending unless you have a good beginning. And if you're here and you're not a child of God, you need to be one. You need to start your beginning by hearing, believing, repenting of your sin, confessing His name before men, and submitting to baptism to contact the blood of Christ, that you might receive the remission of sin. You might become an heir. You might become a member in the family of God, that you could address your Father in heaven, because He is your Father in heaven, because you have a spiritual relationship. But many in this audience this morning, you've already done that. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're writing your story. You're building your legacy. If it had to end today, if today was the last entry,